You're listening to Her Side Hustle, the podcast whose mission is to educate and empower the females out there who are hustling to turn their dreams into a reality. I'm your host, Rachel Burke, a 20-something-year-old on a journey to start a movement. I believe females are absolutely capable of creating wildly profitable and purpose-driven businesses. Join me each Tuesday as we sit down with successful female hustlers and hear all about their journey to becoming a female founder. All you need is a little bit of hustle and a whole lot of heart. Let's hear about her side hustle. Today we have Lori Ann chatting with us about her side hustle turned full-time business. Hey, Lori, welcome to Her Side Hustle.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. So you are a virtual bookkeeper. You help other business owners achieve their goals by simplifying bookkeeping, putting systems in place, and giving them reliable financial reports that allow them to make informed decisions about their business. I'm personally really interested in your business and virtual bookkeeping. I actually graduated with a degree in accounting. My first job out of college was an auditor at a Big Four accounting firm. And so this kind of hits home to me. It's what I have experience in, or I guess similar to, you know, I know there's differences between bookkeeping and accounting, but sort of similar to what I was doing. And what's funny is my experience as an auditor really opened up my eyes to what, like, the type of job I didn't want to be doing, just because I was working crazy, crazy long hours. I was working on weekends. It was a rough life. But had I known about virtual bookkeeping at the time, that would have been something that I probably would have really been interested in. So this is going to be interesting for me just to hear about your story. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah, I'm super excited just because, like, you have an accounting background, and a lot of people that I do podcasts with or just talk to, like, they don't have that background and they don't have that insight to it. So it's kind of fun to have this conversation.
Yeah, definitely. So first things first, I kind of touched on it just a second ago, but some women might not know the difference between bookkeeping and accounting. Can you just quickly share, like, what is the difference? Because they aren't the exact same thing.
Yes, and I love it because there is definitely a difference, and you can probably, like, put your insight into it too with having a background in accounting. But really the difference is, in simple terms, I like to view accounting as they take care of your taxes at the end of the year, and then bookkeepers really are involved in your business throughout the year. And so they do more recording of the transactions, the day-to-day stuff, whereas the accountant does more on the tax side. They're up to date on all of the laws, all the changes on the, like, the IRS rules and everything like that. They're on the tax side of things. The bookkeeper is more on just recording the transactions and more involved in managing the money and helping you make those good decisions and giving you those reliable resources and like numbers.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like bookkeeping, you're kind of with your customer every single day. You know, you're really in there helping them out on a more of a daily basis, whereas an accountant, they're kind of hands off. But then when it comes time for a tax season, that's when they're really, you know, helping you out. So that was a good explanation of that. Now, why should somebody hire a bookkeeper? Like, what kind of services is it that you offer?
Yeah, so I actually offer two different ones. So I am able to, let me back up. Back in December, I had a lot of people reach out to me that they were just starting their business and they wanted help with bookkeeping, but they weren't, like, at the point to where they could outsource it. So I offer the setup and training in QuickBooks Online, so I can train you how to do your own bookkeeping, train you exactly what you need to look for. And on top of that, like, just kind of like how to set up everything. But my main service that I do is actually do, like, the monthly bookkeeping for you. And it's really, I don't know where the line is on when you should hire a bookkeeper, because it's different for everybody. Like, you might want to be doing it yourself for a while. You might not be able to afford it or whatnot. But I think the biggest thing is just to make sure you are getting your accurate financial statements. You're, like, recording things properly. A bookkeeper can help you with knowing if it's a business, like, business expense versus personal. They could give you insights on, like, these are your numbers. I like to do a lot of, like, analyzing the numbers from the past year or the past couple months and kind of giving you more, like, okay, here's the trends that I'm seeing. And it's also, like, it's a new set of eyes on your books too. So a lot of people, they'll come to me and be like, okay, here's everything. And I'm like, wait, you're getting, like, double charged for a lot of these subscriptions, or you're not making money on this product or whatever. So it's really just being having someone else in there to see your finances and see where you can really increase your profits at the end of the day.
Got it. So why bookkeeping? How did the idea for your business come about? Were you doing something similar prior to starting your own business?
Yeah, so it's kind of like always been ingrained in me, I guess, from like little up. My parents were entrepreneurs and still are, and I do their bookkeeping for them now. But I started becoming involved in like business finances when I was 13. And so I was like, oh, I love this. I'm going to go be an accountant and maybe get my CPA and do all like the traditional accounting stuff. And so then I got hired on at an accounting firm, just a local one. It was smaller whenever I was 16 or 17. So I was pretty young. And I ended up being like the payroll specialist accountant for that location. So I like moved up really quick and I'm like, okay, I'm still in high school and everything. So then I saw kind of what the accounting life was like. And like you said before, the long hours and the busy time. But then I also saw like there was a gap in between when the owners would meet the accountant and then like throughout the year, they'd be confused or else like they just didn't have good bookkeeping records. And they'd be like, okay, here, do my taxes. And it's like, wait, like we can't do your taxes off of these bad bookkeeping records. And so like that kind of opened up my eyes. Like there's businesses out there that are running off of inaccurate numbers. They don't even know what's going on. They don't know what their profits are or even if they're making money throughout the year. And so that's why I'm like, you know what? I want to just help the business owners, like more of a like one-to-one relationship. And so I left the accounting firm. I went back and worked for my parents. And then I slowly just started gaining like side clients. And I was doing that on the side. But then just this past summer, I was like, you know what? I want to do this like full. I want this to be like my business and do it full time. So that's kind of how it evolved. But like I said, it's been like in my blood from the beginning.
Yeah, that's impressive that you had such an early start. I feel like most kids like around 13, the last thing that they're doing is wanting to help out with like accounting and finances and all that. So that's really cool that you had that experience at such a young age. And I feel like it's really important, you know, what you're doing, because for instance, in my personal experience with this podcast, I don't even have that many expenses, but it still is so easy to lose track of what you're paying for. Like the cost of, you know, my microphone and that kind of stuff is easy where it's just like a one-time cost. But like, for instance, I use a company called Captivate to like host my podcasting, and it also has my website. Like that's a monthly subscription, and just like any other expenses like that are like on a monthly basis, it's really easy to forget about all of them and kind of lose track. And I'm just like doing a very simple podcast, whereas people who actually run like a full-time business with tons more expensive, I'm sure it's so easy to really lose track of all of that. So I feel like it's really, really important that you come in and you're helping out and you're keeping them on track and helping them, you know, make sure that they're really just tracking everything. So I think it's great that you're really helping these businesses out.
Yeah, it's really fun. In fact, I was just on a call I think it was Friday with somebody, and I've only been working with her for 3 weeks maybe. And she was just like, I am so much like, I'm not stressed out about things. Like I can actually like work on my business and I don't have like this whole like burden on my shoulders that like, am I doing it right? Is the IRS going to get me? Like what's going on? And I find it really fun to be able to provide that support to my clients.
Yeah, it's rewarding. And also I feel like for you and even maybe for me in a little bit of a sense, it comes more naturally, but some people, they don't have like the background or the education, you know, they don't know how to keep track of their expenses and what matters and what doesn't matter. So I think it's super important to have somebody who does have that knowledge really coming in and helping them out. And like you said, it helped that, you know, your customer just ease her mind and relax her so she can really focus on what she does best, which is run her business. So yeah, I think that's great. And it's really rewarding what you're doing. Now, a quick question I have. You mentioned that you were helping out with your family's business. You were doing some work for an actual company in the accounting field. What was the reason this past summer that really motivated you to quit your full-time job or, you know, stop working for another corporation and start your own business?
Yeah. So let's see. I quit the accounting firm. It was back in 2018. Okay. So it's been a few years. I think it was 18. And then I was working for my parents, which I still do work for them just because it's family and they're, yeah, I do their bookkeeping for them. But at the time, it was just like, it was in the middle of tax season. So not the best time to leave an accounting firm. Yep. They were not too happy with me, but it was like mentally, like I couldn't take it anymore. I was having some health problems at the time. And I was just like, I can't take this stress. Like, I can't take the stress of having to work a ton of hours. And I'm like, I don't even feel like it's not really what I wanted to do. Like at that point, I'm just like, I'm not going to be a CPA. I don't want to do taxes. I just want to be involved in like the day-to-day stuff. And my dad offered me a job back at his business. And I was like, I'm just going to take that. And that was part-time. And it's been a part-time for a few years. And then I had my daughter back in 2019, in the fall of 2019. And so now, like this past summer of 2020, I was like, you know what? I'm in a good season of life. Like my daughter's getting older. I can start like going after like what I want to do and my dreams, which I've always had this in the back of my head for the last like 4 years. I'm like, I want to start my own like business from like my own bookkeeping firm, accounting firm, payroll firm, whatever you want to call it, from home. So it's kind of been in the back of my head. And last summer, I was just like, you know what? I have extra time during COVID and everything. I'm like, why not? Let's just do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you always had that sort of like entrepreneurial like mindset, which I feel like a lot of women I talk to, they kind of have the same thing. You're like, it's almost like you're born with it. You've always wanted that. And so there's just, you start working for a company or you are going to college, and then all of a sudden one day you're like, you know what, this isn't what I want to do. So you kind of make that transition.
Yeah, so
that's cool.
Yeah, it's fine. I was just like, I don't really know how to explain it, but like you said, it's just like, it's been in my blood. It's all like the just having, running your own business. And I think part of it too was my parents, they always had businesses growing up. And so I saw that, and I saw kind of what it allowed them to do. But also, I mean, being an entrepreneur and owning your own business is not easy either. So I saw like the complications and the hardships of that. But I also saw like what it allowed them to do with being able to go on trips with us kids. And I wanted to provide that for my family too.
Yeah, I think that there's pros and cons, obviously, to working for a company versus having your own business. Obviously, it's not easy being an entrepreneur, but there are such great, amazing things that come out of it. Like you can take vacations whenever you want, and you can, you know, work from home and spend more time with your daughter, you know. So it's kind of like, what's more important to you and what do you value more? And I kind of had a similar experience. That's why I quit my accounting, like the company that I was working for. I was working, oh my God, it was crazy. Like in January, I was working easily until midnight every single night, getting in at 7:45. I was working Saturdays and Sundays. Like I was working so much and I wasn't making overtime. And I quickly was like, this is not the life for me. And I quit. And since then I've had other corporate jobs, but that's really what made me realize like, wow, I need to someday, you know, have my own business. I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew that I wanted it. So now I'm still on that journey to find out what it is and to do it. But it's great that you understood that. And then, you know, you started your own business and you're obviously doing great right now and you're successful. So it's just cool to hear about that. And I actually saw on your website, so your husband is a farmer. That's cool.
He is. Yeah. That's another thing that it was. They are super busy in the spring and the fall. So they do like corn and beans. And so it's like a lot of grain farming. And so in the spring and fall, they're very busy. And I'm just like, there are times where I need to help out, like run them from field to field, take care of dinners and all kinds of stuff, take seed in the springtime for them to plant and stuff like that. So there's times where I just have to drop everything. And by having my own business from home, I can do that. And I want to be able to do that so that my daughter can see my husband like throughout those busy times and can be involved in the family farm and stuff.
Got it. Yeah, that's cool. I honestly don't know any farmers. So that's awesome. That's really cool. So what did the process look like for you? Like when you decided, all right, this is it, I'm going to start my own bookkeeping business. What did it look like? Like personally, for me, as an example, with this podcast, there was so much to learn and so many things to do even before launching that it can definitely get overwhelming, just lots of like upfront work and whatnot. And I can imagine that for a lot of other women out there who also want to start a business or a side hustle, like just the process of starting out is tough. It's not easy. So where did you begin? Like, were you sitting there taking a bunch of trainings, or did you just one day say, all right, I'm going to start this thing? And then the next day you were trying to find clients. Like, how did that process look for you?
Yeah. So it was kind of like, I think I started really wanting to do it in the spring of 2020. So I was like, okay, how am I going to do that? Like you said, like, how am I going to make this work? And it was kind of like, I was kind of self-conscious. I'm like, I don't want to tell people that I'm doing this in case it fails too.
Right.
And so, yeah, but I knew some friends and family that had businesses. So, and then just, I would even go at that point, I didn't know I wanted to be on the online space, but I would go in and just meet with business owners and be like, okay, this is what I'm thinking. Would this help you? And like, how do I market it to help other small business owners? And I think that was the best thing for me because I met with probably, I think I did like 5 to 7 different owners, and it gave me a lot of insight, and all of them were like, yeah, do it. Like, people need this. And so it kind of gave me a confidence too. But after I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I kept going back and forth. I'm like, do I do a course? But I was just like, you know what? At the time, a lot of the courses were like teaching you how to do bookkeeping. And I'm like, I know that. I know accounting. I know bookkeeping. So I was kind of like at a dead end. And then I found a program. It's Katie Farrow's. It's at orderlyaccounting.com. Yeah, that's her handle on Instagram too, I think. But she trains bookkeepers how to run a bookkeeping business. So it was more on the business side of things. And she's been my coach since August maybe. And that's like okay. That's the best thing that I could say. Like, just like, I have made so much ROI on her by like just having her as my coach. And it's crazy. She's taught me so much. And that would be probably my biggest like advice is like, you just should have like a coach of some sort to help you and hold you accountable, because she's like, you just need to do it. Like, you don't. And the biggest thing too is she's like, you don't have to have your Instagram perfect. You don't have to have your Facebook perfect. You don't even have to have a website. Like, just put yourself out there. And yeah, that's kind of how it got started.
I have so many thoughts right now that I want to get out. So the first one, I totally feel you on how you were like, I didn't want to tell anybody at first because like, what if I fail? So the only person who knows about this podcast is my husband. And then the other day, last week, my sister is a crazy person and she somehow found my Instagram, and I don't even know like why, like what tipped her off to thinking that I was even doing this. I think I mentioned the fact that I wanted to start a podcast like 7 months ago, and she's just creepy and she found me. So now she knows, but I was like, damn it. Like, it's embarrassing. You don't want people to see you, you know, like you're vulnerable. You're putting yourself out there. And so I get that whole scary feeling and whatnot. So I definitely, I feel you on that. The second point that I want to make, that's so cool that you really put yourself out there and you started meeting with businesses. I feel like that in itself would be a really scary thing to do, especially when you're so new and you're not like the seasoned bookkeeper going in and having these meetings. So I really love that you had the confidence to go in there and just sit down and chat with them. And like you said, it was really helpful. It taught you a lot. So I admire the fact that you were able to get up the courage to do that. That's really great.
Yeah, I was so scared too.
Yeah. Oh God, I can imagine.
Yeah, and some of them I did know, like my parents, or they were friends of my parents or that I knew personally. So that helped a little bit, but it was still just like, oh no, like what are they going to think of me?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just like, there's that imposter syndrome coming in where it's just like, what's going on?
Absolutely. I feel you. Yeah, that would be scary for anybody. So that's great that you did that. And then the last point, so you took a course and you have a coach now, and it's shown you so much ROI. It's been just like invaluable. I think that's so important. So personally, like right now, I don't have a coach. Everything that I've done with podcasting, I've learned on myself or on my own and on Google. But the issue is the amount of time I feel like it's taken me and the amount of research. If I had somebody who was a coach helping me along the way, I could have drastically reduced that time. I also would have just like learned, and it was just, it would have been so helpful. But I think that something that's really scary for women is, or just owners in general, not only women, but you do have to make a financial investment upfront, which for somebody starting out, you know, that's scary. Like, what if I invest thousands of dollars in a coach and I end up not seeing any profits? That sucks. But I do think it's important that the coach was helpful. You did it, you sucked it up, you paid or whatever, but you have had so much ROI. And it's something that I honestly need to look into myself with this podcast. But I think that that's coaching nowadays, I think, is just so important. So it's cool that you found her, you took her courses, and you're still working with her today.
Yeah. And like you said, the amount of time that it would have taken me to learn everything that she's taught me, I mean, it would be so much time. And I'm just like, it made my business go a lot faster than what I would ever imagine. And like my goals for this year are like, I never would have imagined like trying, like my goals this year, and I'll just be upfront, I don't like mind talking about numbers. Like I want to hit six figures this year. Yeah. And I'm just like, I never would have dreamed of having that goal for me if it wasn't for her. Like, you can do it. Like, these are the steps you need to take. And like, I would have never found the online community either, which I love working with like brand designers and social media managers and coaches online. And I just genuinely like those people. And so like, I would have never found that niche. Like, that's who I want to work with. And yeah, I don't know. It was probably, I never would have thought I was the person that would be like, yeah, go get a coach, go spend money to get a coach, like go like invest in yourself at the beginning. Cause I was one that I'm just like, I don't want to do it. And my husband, he actually pushed me to do it. He's like, just do it. Like, what do you have to lose? And yeah, it really paid off for sure.
Yeah. I think it's important. Like, yes, you can do it on your own, but you do need to invest in your business. Like, that's all, at the end of the day, you're going to have to invest, and you can choose what to invest it in, whether it's a website, a coach, equipment, or whatever it is that your business is. You're going to have to make investments in it. So you decide, you know, what it is that you're investing in. But I, even just talking with you, I'm like, okay, I need to go get a coach.
Yeah.
So, and I love that you're open about talking about finances, because it's always such a touchy subject, and you know, you never want to, I always try and steer clear of that, but I love that you're open about it. So your goal is to hit six figures. You started this, and sorry if I'm getting these dates wrong, but last year. So you've essentially been doing this for pretty much 1 year. Is that correct?
No, I started in like, let's see, I started it the same day as I like put out on social media, which was like in September. Okay. The middle of September. So like what, 6 months, 4 months? No.
Wow.
5 months? I don't know. Can't do my math today. But yeah, so it hasn't been that long. And yeah, that's my goal. But who knows if I'll get, I mean, we'll just keep plucking away at the goal and maybe I'll reach it, maybe not. But, and that is one thing that I am all about, being transparent with numbers. And that's why, like with you, like I don't mind telling you and the audience like what my financial goals are, because I think they're, like you said, it's so much like people don't want to talk about it and they clam up about it. And I'm just like, you know what? Money is something that we can help encourage each other with. And you don't even have to tell other people what you made or what your profits are or what your sales are. You don't even have to say that, but you can talk about how you're managing it, talk about like your struggles and your wins with it. I think it's something that needs to be talked about more. And a lot, I like to use an analogy, and I heard it at a conference one time. It's that like money is not, it's not good or bad. It's like a brick. A brick could be thrown through a window, and so it would be used for bad things, or it could be used to build a house, and that's used for good things. And so it's really what you do with your money that's important. And so, and that determines whether it's good or bad. So like the whole mindset around money being bad or don't want to talk about it, I get it, because I hear it a lot, but I think it's something that people need to work on moving past and start like normalizing money.
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you on that. I feel like, and especially like on this podcast, like I am here, like the goal for this podcast is to motivate other women, to like educate them and motivate them that they can do this. Like the fact that you have only been doing your business since September, so however many months, 5 months, and you have a goal of trying to hit a six figures, even if you don't hit that goal, like the fact that that's your goal, that just shows that you can do it. Other women can do it. I love talking about that because I just hope that that encourages others. Like it encourages me like, okay, if she can do this, I can do this. Like I can hit six figures with my side hustle. So I love that. And I mean, even yesterday, I still work for a full-time corporation, and me and my coworker, like we told each other our salary yesterday because in the long run, like it's going to help both of us because when we're in there negotiating with our managers, like, hey, well, he's making, of course, I would never tell my manager like, oh, he's
yeah, yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah. Like if I know what he makes, then we can kind of, it helps both of us out. So I just love that you're open about it. I think more women and men and just everybody in this world should be more open and about, you know, that conversation as well. So love that. And I love that the fact that that's your goal of six figures. I really hope that you get to that. So a question that I have for you, kind of piggybacking off of that, how have you been able to build your customer, you know, your customer base? Like, how is that even a goal for you? The fact that you're even thinking about getting to that point, what's been like your main marketing tactic that's been successful for you in landing those clients?
Yeah. So the biggest one, so I'm on Instagram a lot. So I use that to like kind of nurture my audience. And I also interact with some new like ideal clients and everything on there. But my main marketing tactic is like guest speaking and just like networking and getting the word out, like going on podcasts, speaking in a Facebook group, doing collaborations, speaking in like masterminds, stuff like that, to where it's more of like an intimate, like one-on-one conversation to where it's not just me selling all the time. I kind of want to do it to where I'm not like just chasing after people and they're just like, they find me through a course they were in or even on Instagram. And they're like, you know what? Like she's providing content and value that's good and helping people out. Like I want to learn more. So it's kind of more so about, oh, what's the word I'm looking for?
It's natural. It's not, yeah. You're not sitting there, you know, hustling. You're not sitting there like chasing after people, trying to sell them your services. You're just naturally having conversations with others. And then they're learning about you, about bookkeeping, about your services. And it just, you know, it's kind of like a natural progression. It's not like you're sitting there being like, this is why you need bookkeeping and you need to hire me. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. And I think it's something to do with like money too. I found a lot of people kind of clam up like we were talking about with money. So if I'm always like chasing after people and being like, okay, here's like, what are you doing with bookkeeping? Like you need my services. Like it just sounds cocky and kind of, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right to me either. Now I do interact with like ideal clients on Instagram, but I'm not just like pushing my stuff. If like a problem arises or if they have a question, I'll be like, okay, this is what I offer. This is how I can help you. But I don't really have the time or the energy either to just go like chase after people.
Yeah. And that's the power of social media these days. This is something that, you know, like our parents or grandparents didn't have. Like we're able to connect with people from all around the world on social media.
Yeah.
And people want to hire businesses that they can relate to. They like them. They trust them, you know? So if you're just like being helpful and answering questions and saying, you know, hey, this is what I offer in case you're interested, it's very different. And it's just more impactful than like we just talked about, just being really salesy and just pushing your services on people. So social media is definitely awesome.
Yes, it is. I mean, I really don't like social media. It's kind of funny that it's my main marketing tool, but I really don't like being on there or anything. So yeah. It's kind of like a like conflict inside of me, like, oh, I don't like it, but I have to use it for my business and everything. But I hit like now I just hit 1,200 followers and I'm not even trying to like grow my following anymore. And I'm just like, that happened in 4 or 5 months. And I'm like, I have 1,200 people following me. And that's like 1,200 opportunities to share tips and tricks and just like position myself as like an expert in this area.
Yeah,
I never would have been able to do it without social media. I couldn't go and visit 1,200 businesses. I mean, I could, but you know how much time that would take?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like there's pros, there's cons. There's a lot of good that it's doing, a lot of bad that it's doing. And the word that came to mind is organic.
Yes. Organic, yes.
This is happening.
Yeah. That's what the word I was looking for.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. quick question for you. You mentioned like right now you're hitting 1,200, you know, followers. I know the world of finance, accounting, like it can be really long, can be difficult. What is the world of virtual bookkeeping, if you don't mind like sharing? Like how many hours a day do you have to work on average? Are there busy seasons? Like what does a typical day look like for you?
I think it's different for every bookkeeper because I have a daughter and I'm working from home. So like there's times where I just like do 30 minutes of work and then I have to go take care of her or something. But I'll kind of walk through like what the month looks like because it's more a monthly basis. So January just got done and that was super busy because I was finalizing my clients' books, getting them ready for the tax preparer. So I had to like go through everything, do their 1099s, do all like the end of year stuff for them. So that was pretty busy. And then we're finishing up like the first week or week and a half of February. And that's whenever I do the previous month's work. So I do like January's bookkeeping the first week of February. And so that kind of looks like I'll probably work about three to four hours on client work. And then I'll do like little things here and there for my business, like content creation, or I'm going to be doing a workshop or like creating behind the scenes stuff and putting systems in place. So I'll do a few hours on that. But I would say in like an average week, I probably only work 20 hours.
That is amazing. Yeah. That's incredible. And you like we talked about going back, like your goal, six figures. Like if you can work 20 hours a week and hit that goal, that is awesome.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that's another thing is like I don't want to work any more than what I am and hit that. So I'm trying to figure out how to hit that goal. And I have ideas in my mind. And I mean, I eventually want to build it more into an agency to where I have bookkeepers and more of a team to help me out. So I think that's the key to build it into a bigger business.
That's cool. I was actually going to ask that, like, how can you scale up? Is it like raising your rates? Because I'm sure at some point you can't take there's a point where you can't take on any more clients, I'm assuming, but that's really cool that your future goal is to actually start an agency where you'll have other bookkeepers working there and then, and helping clients rather than just raising your rates to like, I don't know, $2,000 an hour or whatever.
Yeah. I think for any business, I am a good, like I am all for outsourcing or hiring, whatever you would do. I think it's because I saw my dad do it a lot. And every time he would hire like a key person in his business, like the profits, like it just would affect the revenue and the end profit so much just because of how like more efficient things can run and the systems that can be in place. So I'm like really excited to like bring on my first, I mean, I'm a player as a contractor, but my first employee, my first person to help me. Because I think that's the key. And then also, I mean, I want to do some courses and some recorded stuff that is like a passive income to where I don't have to be involved in it as much. So those are kind of my two things on how to scale.
Yeah, no, I mean, that sounds like both awesome ideas. And I feel like if you do those, you're definitely going to hit that goal of yours and definitely far exceed it, I think, as well. Another question I have for you, how many clients do you work with on any given day? Like, do you have the same clients on a yearly basis? Or what is like, what's that number?
Yeah, so right now, my biggest thing is monthly bookkeeping. And so I'm working with them every single month. And I do like the, like I said, the first week I usually do their like last month, the first week of the month. So like right now I just did their January bookkeeping. And then I'll send them their reports or ask them any questions. We'll kind of have some communication during this first week. And then we'll do like a 30-minute like money call, financial review or whatever, and talk about like what happened, what some trends I see. But right now I have 10 monthly bookkeeping clients. And then I have currently four, I'm in the middle of doing four setups. Actually, I just finished one. So three setups. So right now I'm working with 13 different businesses.
Okay. Got it. On a monthly basis. So yeah. What is a setup? Is a setup like the starting phases of your relationship, or is it a different type of engagement that you have with these customers?
So a setup would be they're wanting bookkeeping help, but they don't want to outsource it monthly yet. They're not at that point. So I'm setting them up and like training them how to do their own bookkeeping.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. Now, another question that I have. When you're working with these customers, are they just sending you, and this might be like such a simple way to put it, but are they sending you like their, just like all their receipts, and then you're going in and putting it into QuickBooks and then like managing it for them, or you're teaching them how to do it and they're doing it themselves? Or is that kind of like those two examples you just said, like the setup and then the monthly clients?
Yeah. So the setup, they do it all themselves after we're done, like going through the training process. But then for monthly people or my monthly clients, they don't really do much. They keep track of their receipts. Like they keep on hold of their receipts. And with it being online space, a lot of receipts are online now, emailed. So I just been like, just put it in a folder just to have and have them organized by the year. And so they don't really even give me receipts. They just take care of keeping them in a folder on their computer. But I have it set up in QuickBooks that automatically imports from their bank account. And so I can see like, okay, it came through a charge to Canva for graphics or whatever. And that's the good thing about having a niche, is that like all the businesses are about the same. So I understand what everything's for. So a lot of them, I just go in and I can even like, I see a month in, a month out, and I can determine what it's like, where to categorize it based on like what the bank said it was, like what showed up on their bank statement.
Okay. Gotcha. This is so interesting to me. And I think it's because I have like this, like the background that I have, but I absolutely love talking to you with right now, just for my own personal experiences. This is super interesting.
It's so fun. I love that you could like share it like being fun, I guess.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. So just a couple more questions for you. How has being an entrepreneur affected your life? Like what's been the thing that you love most about it? And then also like, what's the biggest challenge or fear that you faced as well with being an entrepreneur?
I think probably the biggest thing is like kind of relieving, because my husband works, I mean, he's full time and he supported us. Like he can, I don't try to say this in a, like a bragging way, but like I could not work and we would be fine. Like his income supports our household and where we live. Yeah. So, but at that same time, like he has that burden to where it's like, okay, I need to work to like help us. I mean, to like keep things running and everything. So he, with to be on the farm and stuff, a lot of times he would work Saturdays and just, he has a lot of long hours. And with me having this business, it's been able to like take the pressure off of him, where it's like, he's not the only one bringing in like a good amount of money at least. And so it's kind of like helped him not be so much stressed out and like feel that like burden of having to support us. But then also, I mean, it allows us to take vacations and have more of like a financial like freedom type thing. And yeah, I guess more so of just, that's what I'm like, he is able to support us. So it's just, everything that I'm bringing in is like additional money. So yeah. It's really been nice because we were able to buy a car with cash and our house was paid off a year ago. So it's kind of like, we don't have any debt. And so now it's like, okay, we can put more in retirement or we can go on a vacation and have fun with it. So it's really given us just more options on like what we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that like you should be proud of too. Like, yes, you might not need, you know, the additional income, but like you said, it's kind of like play money. And it's also something that is fun for you. It's something that you can be really proud of and grow. So even if, you know, your husband's the richest guy in the world, I still think it's really cool what you're doing, that you're not just staying at home with your daughter, even though that's in itself a full-time job, but you know, it's something that you're passionate about as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I do love what I do. And whenever we got married, I'm like, okay, once we have kids, I'm going to just stay home. But I can't do that. Like I need to do something with my day and have some type of job or something. And yeah, it's been really fun. And like I said before, it just allows us to not be so like, I don't know, not stressed out, but it allows us to have fun and do things that we wouldn't be able to do without having this.
Yeah. Just a little bit more financial freedom. And yeah. I totally agree with you. Like I've kind of started thinking like, okay, when I have kids, I don't want to work for a corporation anymore. Like I want to be present in their lives. But I also think I would struggle with being at home all day with like nothing else to do rather than just, you know, I'm not saying that being a parent isn't a full-time job because it is, but I understand you needed something else to do. Whereas I'm the same way where I my goal is to have my own company, like be a stay-at-home mom, but also be doing something to bring in additional income and just give us more flexibility in regards to our finances. And it's like it's a hobby. If it's something that you are enjoying doing, it's not your job anymore. It's like a passion project, if that makes sense. Like you're not sitting there working for a corporation that you hate. You're doing something that you really like.
Yeah. That's a good way to explain it. I like that because it is my passion and it is really fun for me to be able to like help my clients understand their finances and not be stressed about it and kind of have a plan about what's going on. So it's been fun for me to be able to provide that for them. And yeah, even in my downtime, I'm just like, okay, what can I work on my business? Like, what can I do with my business? Right. Or like, what can I work on? Yeah. Because it's just like, this is fun. Like I want to do this. I want to create different offers. I want to create like a spreadsheet and sell. I don't know. It's just, I love my numbers. I'm such a nerd.
Yeah, no, but it's so true. Like they say, like when you're doing something that you love, like you're never actually working. And that's so true. Like with this podcast, it's so fun for me. I was just texting my sister about it, how I just love doing it. Like it's, yes, I'm doing it like on weekends or at night, but I don't think that I'm working. Like I enjoy it. It's just really fun. So I'm sure that's similar to you. Like you might be working, but it's something that you enjoy, you know, it's not like it's a punishment.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's kind of like, even like my friends in real life. So it's funny because now I'm like, oh yeah, I have my like work friends on social media and then I have like my real life friends. But like the friends that I have here and like person around where I live, they're always like, oh, you're working so much. Like, are you like, okay? Are you like too stressed out or busy or like you should not have to work in the evening? So I'm like, but I'm just sitting around. Like I want to, like, I want to go look and review my clients' numbers to see if I'm missing something or not that I'm missing something, but see if we could like, I don't know, see if we could change a few things to make their profits bigger. It's fun to me to do that for my clients.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like I am not a workaholic when it comes to working for another company. Like,
oh, me either.
If I'm in the office, like after 5 o'clock, I am not happy. Like, I'm not that person, but it's different when it's your own thing. Like I don't mind sitting on the couch at night and instead of watching TV, like being on my laptop and building out my website or like you would be doing, like looking at your clients' portfolios or whatever. Like it's different. But if you caught me dead in the office at 8 o'clock at night, I would be raising hell.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the same way. I'm like, this is my other child that I'm like growing and like training up and building.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so two last questions that I have for you. The first one is, what piece of advice would you give to other women who are looking to become an entrepreneur or even just start a side hustle? What would you say to them?
Probably with where, like, who I am and what I do, I would say keep track of your numbers. because what I see a lot is people start a side hustle and then it grows really fast or it kind of like flat and it levels out. How whatever happens with your side hustle or business, you need to be able to know what's going on with your finances, because I mean, people don't just start a side hustle or a business to just do it. Like they're doing it to bring home money to their family. And if you don't know if you're even profiting or what your numbers even are, then there's like a disconnect there. And I cannot imagine the stress that it would bring. And so I think like, if you're just starting out, just go online, find or go to open Excel or Google Sheets and just keep track of all of your income and all of your expenses. And then just do a simple equation and just do your income or your sales minus your expenses. And then that's like your profit at the end of the day. And then after you start building it into more of a like business and start getting more transactions, then you can start looking into like QuickBooks Online or something like that. And there's even different like, there's different templates you can download for free online to keep track of your finances and like Google Sheets or something. And I'm actually making one right now that just kind of keeps track of everything that you're spending, all of your income, and kind of like project some things too. So there's a lot of resources that you can do, but the biggest thing is just make sure you know your numbers.
Awesome. I love that advice. I feel like a lot of the time when I'm asking other guests on the show the question, they're always saying like, just go for it. Like, just do it, just start. But it's also very important to keep track of your finances and to know what you're spending your money on. So that's a great piece of advice. Last question. How can our listeners connect with you, learn more about your bookkeeping services, and ultimately hire you to run their books?
Yeah. So I'm mainly on Instagram. It's at loriannkuntz.co is my handle. And that's really where I spend a lot of time. So people can DM me or however, get a hold of me on there. But right now I'm doing 30-minute consultations. So if you want one of those, I have a link in my bio and it's just like a simple application to, for me to know a little bit more about your business and where you're at with your business. So you can submit that and then I'll send you a link back to book a call and we can kind of talk about any questions you might have on finances and then what I can help you with and see like if we're a good fit to work together and what like the next step would be.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Like I said, this was such an interesting conversation for me. I loved it. It was great chatting with you. I like want to continue this conversation, but
me too.
I have a call that I have to do in 8 minutes for my full-time job. But I so appreciate your time today. I really appreciate it. And it was helpful. And I hope that you had fun.
Yeah, I did. It was really fun.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Lorianne.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review so other lady hustlers can find the show. Until next time, keep going.